Is a reason to boast. And that might throw up some red flags. A reason to boast? What are you teaching about today? We're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to boast. But what it's going to be is a genuine, legitimate reason that Paul gives for us to boast. Because when you think about it, your first thought is, I thought we weren't supposed to boast. I thought we talked about that last week, and we saw that we are not supposed to glory in our self-righteousness, in our self-righteous deeds. Didn't Paul call out the Judaizers for glorying in their righteous actions and their righteous deeds? Yes, he did. So what am I talking about when I title a message, A Reason to Boast? This reason to boast has nothing to do with anything that we have accomplished on our own. And that's the key to this whole thought process here. This reason to boast is actually a huge contrast when we compare it with the attitude and the actions of the Judaizers. It's a huge contrast to what we talked about last week. The Judaizers were looking to boast in their flesh and in their self-righteous acts. And you can see that in verses 12 and 13 in Galatians 6. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. Remember what the Judaizers were doing? They were superficial on the outside. They were trying to make a show that, look at me, look at me, look how great I am. Look at how spiritual, how special, how religious I am. That was their action. And then the end of verse 13, it says that they may glory in your flesh. So what were the Judaizers glorying or boasting in? Themselves, in their deeds, in their actions. Which Paul is going to say, no, no, no. That is not how it should be. In our text today, Paul is going to make it very clear that he is not interested in boasting in himself and in his deeds. His only reason for boasting is in the cross of Christ. The very same thing that was a shame to the Judaizers was the object of glorying to Paul. The cross was offensive to the Judaizers, and the cross is offensive to many others. The cross brought persecution. Why would Paul glory in something like that? What reason to boast can be found in the cross of Christ? The message of the cross, the reality of the cross, changed Paul's life. And he's going to talk about it today, some details of how he is able to glory in the cross of Christ. And I'm excited for our study today. I really, really enjoyed my studies this week. I learned a lot for myself. It was a good week of studies. And I'm so thankful that you all are here today as we go through these last few verses in Galatians. And I want to invite all of you to stay after the morning service. We have discussion groups where we can talk about the message even further. We break up into smaller groups. There's a leader with questions specific to the message, and it'll just allow us to make it personal on a personal basis. So just a little advertisement there to try to encourage some of you all to stay for the discussion group hour. Let's read our text. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for Galatians. Thank you for all that we've studied, all that we've learned so far from this book. I pray that you will continue speaking to us today, that you will work on all of our hearts and our lives, that we'll be willing to examine ourselves and to be obedient and honest before you. I pray that you will be magnified today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
So let's start in verse 14. The first phrase says, "But God forbid that I should glory." Paul is speaking here. He's making a very bold statement. God forbid that I should glory. Think about the context of this verse. We should be very familiar with the context of Galatians by now. We've been in this book for a while. But think about what thought process this verse follows. It follows verse 13 and the passage above that that we talked about last week. What was going on with the Judaizers? They were boasting, they were bragging about themselves, they were glorying in their works, in their righteousness. Remember the look at me attitude that we talked about? That's what the Judaizers were doing. They were boasting, but they had very little to boast about, honestly. Because our passage last week tells us that they told everybody to keep the law, but they weren't even willing to keep it themselves. They were glorying and just getting people to come over to the Judaizers' way of thinking. So they were boasting and they had very little to boast about. Now we have the Apostle Paul talking and he says, God forbid that I should glory. Think about the one who is saying that. The Apostle Paul. When you think of great Christians, people who accomplished amazing things for God, people who were wholly dedicated to God with their lives, who is at the top of that list, generally? The Apostle Paul. And here he's saying, God forbid. God forbid means may it never be that I should glory. Glory means to vaunt or to boast. So Paul is saying, may it never be that I boast. And this is coming from the Apostle Paul. And I want you to think about this on a human level from a human perspective. Paul, don't you realize who you are? Do you realize what you have done for the cause of Christ? Do you realize your religious resume? You are a legend. You are a hero. God used you to write a whole bunch of books in the Bible. Paul, you're the man. This is from our mind speaking here. How can you not boast about that? Especially when Paul compared himself to the Judaizers, who were doing nothing but bragging and glorying and boasting about them and what they did. And Paul says, God forbid, may it never be that I should glory. And when you think about Paul's religious resume, Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, Paul gives a little hint here to his religious resume. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And now he gives his resume, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul gives here his resume where if he was to join the Judaizers' camp, if he was to join sides with them, his credentials would be way above anything that they would have. And he's saying, you're glorying in your flesh. You're glorying in your self-righteousness. Here is me. Here is my resume. Guess what? I am not willing to boast. God forbid that I should boast in myself and in my self-righteousnesses. Paul understood that it was not about him. Paul understood his righteousness apart from Christ accomplished nothing for his justification. Paul realized that glorying in himself and his accomplishments was vanity and it robbed God of the glory that he deserves. Paul recognized that everything he was because of God. What a wonderful place that would be to be in, where we honestly realize it's not because of me, It's because of God. My right standing with God is not because of me and my works. It's because of Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5, the Bible says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Paul got it. He realized everything he was because of God. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 3, and then after that we'll go verses 7 through 9. It's at the beginning and at the end of the passage where Paul kind of gives his religious credentials. Philippians 3, 3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Do you see how Paul could say, "I'm not, God forbid that I should glory"? Because he had no confidence in his flesh and in his righteousnesses, his good works, to save him. It was all Christ. Then if you go down to verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Do you see the contrast between Paul's mentality and the Judaizers' mindset? The self-righteous acts that the Judaizers were boasting in, Paul counted as dung, as stuff to be cast out, as garbage to be thrown away. They were bragging and boasting in it. Paul says, "Hey, all of my good works, it's dung." Paul wanted nothing to do with self-righteous boasting. If anyone had the credentials to boast, humanly speaking, Paul would have been at the top of that list. If, humanly speaking, we tried to stack up our self-righteous acts against Paul's, how inferior would those stack up? Why do we often find ourselves glorying in our righteous acts? I mean, because we like to compare ourselves sometimes to people who aren't doing all the stuff we are, so we can feel better about ourselves. But then when we try to compare ourselves to all that's recorded about Paul, we lost that one, humanly speaking, right? Probably most of us. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. So why then are we willing to glory, to boast about, "Look at me, look what I have done"? Why does that attitude creep up on us? We can give the Judaizers a tough time, or we can call them out. We can say, "Why are you so silly to be boasting in yourself, in your righteous acts? What's wrong with you? Don't you get it?" But why is it any better or okay for us to do the same thing? It's not, is the right answer. But don't you remember a couple weeks ago when we talked about the telephone pole sticking out of our eyes? And it's other people's flaws are so evident to us. It's like a little twig or a stick in their eyes. And we're willing to walk around with a big self-righteous beam hanging out of our head. Just, I mean, you see the picture that's going on here. Paul says, with the right attitude, with the right mindset, "God forbid that I should boast." Paul has made it clear what we are not to glory in, what we are not to boast about. If Paul starts out by saying, "God forbid that I should glory," why would I title the message "A Reason to Boast"? I don't know if you're trying to play this through in your mind. Why'd you call it A Reason to Boast if you just said we're not supposed to boast? It's a fair question. Good question. Here we go. Let's get deeper into our text. Verse 14 continues of Galatians chapter 6, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Save in there gives an exception. It gives us a reason. You shouldn't boast except for this one thing. Here's what you can boast in. God forbid that I should boast except. The reason for Paul's boasting, the only reason Paul was going to boast, was the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's desired boasting was in Christ's sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection, represented by the cross of Christ. It's not like Paul is boasting in the literal wooden posts of the cross. It's not like Paul is worshiping the wooden sticks that made up the cross. But what the cross represents, and that is Christ's finished work. Paul was boasting about what Christ was and what he accomplished. What reasons did the cross give Paul to boast and to glory? Another good question. The message of the cross offers freedom. And all of these reasons we're going to find as we go through these verses. But the cross offers freedom. The end of verse 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Why is Paul willing to boast in the cross of Jesus Christ? Because the cross offers freedom from the world and its system of evil and bondage. The word here, translated world, comes from the Greek word cosmos. And it is referring to the evil world system ruled by Satan. It's a very interesting study. We're not going to do all that this morning. But if you'd like some more references, feel free to talk to me. I have a whole list of them. For time's sake, I just want to look at one reference, and that's in Ephesians chapter 2. And it's right across the page from Galatians 6. So it should be real easy to find in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I want you to pay attention here as we see the evil world system, what we used to be, and grasp the understanding of the freedom that Paul is talking about, where he's crucified to the world and the world is crucified to him. Ephesians 2:1, "And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." There's the world we're talking about. "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Do you see the system, the mindset that Paul is talking about that he was freed from? The corrupt world system. The cross of Christ freed Paul from that bondage. And the cross of Christ frees us from the same. The world is still there. The world can still influence. But we are no longer to be in total bondage to the world and its system. The cross of Christ frees us from a life ruled by our flesh, which naturally follows the system promoted by the world. The cross of Christ frees us from the hopelessness that the world offers. And you can see why Paul was eager to glory in the cross. Because he was in bondage to that same world system. He was striving, he was working, he was giving all he had to try to attain righteousness. But he was stuck in the bondage of the world. Paul declares, "By the cross of Christ, the world is crucified to me, and I to the world." The cross of Christ offers freedom. Let's move on to verse 15. "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. The cross of Christ brings new life, brings spiritual life. Ephesians 2:1, we just read, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins." The cross of Christ is necessary for new life. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the what? Life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The cross of Christ is necessary for new life. Remember, Paul is and Paul has been defending salvation by grace through faith. He's been refuting the Judaizers, and he is still refuting the Judaizers. "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything." What were the Judaizers holding to for their true righteousness, their true salvation? What was their biggest token piece? Circumcision. And Paul calls them out one more time before he closes out this book. And he says, circumcision availeth or doesn't avail anything. Either does uncircumcision. So Paul's refuting the Judaizers one more time. He says, circumcised or uncircumcised, it doesn't matter. What saves you is Christ. It's not your righteousness. It's not man's religion. It's not traditions. It's not observing certain rituals and laws that save you or give you a right standing before God. Salvation is from Christ alone. And Paul has been very, very clear on that through the whole book of Galatians. And here he goes again one more time. Salvation is from Christ alone. When you trust in Christ, Christ gives you new life. Christ gives you real life. He makes you a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Paul was willing to boast in the cross of Christ because it brought him new life. Verse 16, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God." The cross of Christ offers salvation to all who will place their faith in Christ alone. Paul says, "as many as walk according to this rule." What was this rule? Faith in Christ. Salvation by grace through faith. You know what's interesting is even the Judaizers were included in this, "as many as walk according to this rule." So it's like Paul calls them out for what they're trusting in. He gives them the truth. Then he says, "Hey, Judaizers, you who have been causing so much trouble and made me write this letter with my own hand, even you, if you will put aside the trust in your works and your righteous acts and trust in Jesus Christ and His gift of salvation, even you can be saved." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life." The cross of Christ also offers peace. Think about the peace that the Judaizers would have been lacking. Have I done enough? Have I made enough proselytes? Have I been keeping the law well enough to get to God? And there's always that wondering, which a works-based salvation leaves you wondering. Have I done enough good to get to God? There's no peace there. There's question and doubt and hope. And Paul says the cross of Christ offers peace. How can he say that? Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith," being declared righteous by faith, having a right standing before God, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." There is true peace that the cross of Christ offers. It takes away doubt and fear. The cross of Christ offers peace. The cross of Christ also offers mercy. Mercy is not receiving the punishment that we deserve for our sins. How can we avoid this punishment? Christ took our punishment. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. Did you see that? Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. We were given mercy. The cross of Christ represents mercy. But for that mercy, Christ gave himself. He took our sins. He took our suffering. He took our place, and he bore our sins on that cross. I just can't get over, but yet it's easy to take for granted, what Christ went through for us on that cross. The suffering, the pain that he went through for us. Shedding his blood. And what did he do wrong? Absolutely nothing. But he did that to show us mercy, so that our sin could be paid for, so that our sin could be covered, so that we could have a hope to be at peace with God. It's such an amazing thought that God would do all that for us. And then along the same lines is, how in the world am I going to try to glory in the good works that I do when that is really dung? Christ was willing to go through all this. He's the one that deserves all the glory. If I'm going to boast about something, it needs to be about Christ, not myself. My good works are short-lived. Our boasting should be in Christ. And then Paul ends verse 16 with the phrase, "And upon the Israel of God." This salvation, this mercy, this peace extends to the Israel of God as well. The Israel of God, or the Jewish believers in Christ, are here referred to as the Israel of God. Paul is willing to boast in the cross of Christ because it offers freedom, new life, salvation to all, peace, and mercy. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ offers us a genuine reason to boast. Then, verse 17, two more verses. I'll go quickly through these two. Paul says, "From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of our Lord Jesus." It's like Paul is making a final plea as he closes this letter. He's been pleading with the Galatians, please believe in the true gospel. Please turn from this works-based salvation. Please believe in Christ and his finished work. Paul says, please don't trouble me. Please believe in the true gospel. The gospel is true. You can trust in it. And Paul says, I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus in my own body. It's like Paul is saying, do you see all the scars? Do you see all the markings on my body that I have went through because of my faith in Christ? I believe in the gospel. I have been marked up to share and to defend this truth. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 27 reveals some of the marks that Paul had on his body. I just want to read them quick too. I don't want to skip over it. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 27. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Paul was beaten in defending the gospel and preaching the gospel. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Paul had been through it for Christ. I mean, I try to think about how much of that I would have stood up to. And that's a scary thought. I don't like getting hurt very much. But Paul went through it. He believed in the message of the gospel. And here he's giving testimony again to it is true. You can have confidence in the gospel. It's like Paul is saying, please just believe. Please quit doubting. Please quit questioning. Please trust in Christ. You have the true gospel. Just believe in it. And then verse 18, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Paul ends with the same endearment and grace that he started this letter out with. Grace is what it's all about. It's all about God's grace towards us. It's not about our righteousness. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God forbid that I should boast. Grace offers freedom. Freedom enables us to love and to serve. And if you would, just take a moment and think back on the reasons that we talked about that the cross offers us to boast. None of us have to do with us. And I don't want it to seem like I was up here elevating Paul, like Paul was so great, Paul's so awesome, Paul's so wonderful, Paul was such a great Christian. But he was a very faithful, great Christian. I do not want to elevate Paul today. I do not want to boast in Paul today. Don't get confused there. But I do want us to see that if a man like that, who accomplished so much for Christ, who went through so much for Christ, said, I am not willing to boast in myself. The only thing I'm going to boast in is Jesus Christ. Shouldn't there be something there that says, man, I really shouldn't boast in myself, in my works? It's all about Christ, and I need to be magnifying Christ and His finished work, His message. Doesn't the cross of Christ give us reason to praise our God? Doesn't the cross of Christ give us reason to boast about our God to others? Not in the sense like, looky here, nana, nana, boo, boo stuff about our God. But just the thought that, man, my God is awesome. He gave everything for me. He offers me real life. And He wants to offer the same to you. He's paid your sin debt. If the cross is so great, and it is, if Jesus is so wonderful, and He is, shouldn't that be something for us to boast about and for us to share with others? If the message of the cross is as great as Paul says it is, shouldn't we be sharing the message with others? Absolutely, we should. So what holds us back? Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank You for this challenge from Your Word. I thank You for these few short verses that we could look at. I pray that You'll help me, Father, to not boast in myself or glory in myself. All that I am is because of You, and I'm so quick to forget that. I'm so quick to glory in myself and what I've done. I pray that You will help me. I pray that You will help all of us. I pray that we will be a church, a body of believers that lifts You up, that glorifies You, that shares the glory of the cross with others. Thank You for Your love and Your faithfulness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.